Welcome to Off Court, the Business of Sport podcast, where business and sports culture meet. Let's go. Kick it off, Robbie.
I've got high hopes for this app. I reckon it's going to be one of the most interesting drops to date. And if you're into sport and business, you've definitely landed in the right spot. I'm joined by friend, podcaster, fitness professional, ambassador, entrepreneur. Any other titles? I'm sure there's a few more in there. Danny Kennedy, how are you, brother?
Robbie, thanks for having me on, man. Much appreciated. Been looking forward to this conversation and appreciate the kind intro.
What's happening in your world?
In my world at the moment, just building up some momentum with business again. What is it? Probably 100th time we've come out of lockdown. So things seem to drop off a little bit on the momentum side of things. I think the further we get into this and the more lockdowns there's been, every single time we go into it, it feels like everyone's momentum crashes a little bit more than the previous one. I feel like last year was almost a bit of a novelty with the lockdown and we started to deal with it pretty well and everyone just adapted, whereas now I reckon people are just over it. And I've definitely seen that from my side of things. So, you know, online side of things, podcasts and everything, it's just business as usual. But in terms of seeing people face to face and being in the gym and just a matter of building up the momentum again. So yeah, super grateful to be back in the gym again and just trying to build that back up.
Now you're a real hustler. You're building a bit of a fitness empire, really. I mean, look, you're obviously a sought after personal trainer and online coach, the host of the Fitness and Lifestyle podcast, which I believe has had 2.5 million downloads. Is that right?
Yeah, it just cracked 2.5, which is incredible. It's actually hard to believe, but yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. You're also the head trainer of the Keep It Cleaner program, which is obviously has had a lot of eyeballs, which is, I'm sure has been, you know, good for business. And, you know, I don't say this lightly, but one of the most genuine people you will ever meet. And altogether, that's an impressive CV. How did your journey start in building your fitness business? Because I'm sure a lot of people want to know, you know, they can see the success now, but they want to know, okay, well, how did you get a start? How did that all sort of come together? And you know, how did that ball of momentum sort of roll along?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. It's definitely what it looks like from the outside, you know, I guess you could say. And it's most often not the answer that people are expecting or that they want to hear, but it's just been a very slow grind and consistent grind, you know, from day one. So for me, I grew up in Horsham, Victoria, playing football and basketball. Was obsessed with both of those. Naturally was a good runner and really skinny, and just loved to run and probably just overtrained, to be honest. And then I started in the gym at about 16. Initially, I really didn't enjoy it that much because I was so obsessed with the running side of things and the gym just didn't feel like it was my thing. But, you know, after I started seeing some results, quickly fell in love with it and became, you know, a passion of mine. I was still pursuing basketball and football, but I was just obsessed with training and nutrition. I was doing as much research as I could, making all the mistakes you could possibly make. And I was just obsessed with it. And I finished up school. I actually did my personal training qualification separate to school while I was in VCE. Just, yeah, I don't know what it was for, maybe just a backup plan. I'm not too sure. But finished up that, moved to Melbourne for basketball full-time for 2 years. And in that process, was really fortunate to meet some incredible people and started, you know, learning from the right information sources, which is just incredibly important in the health and fitness industry. And, you know, we're still making mistakes and whatnot, but once I started implementing the theory that I'd started to learn, that's when I really started to see results. And for anyone watching or listening, like I was, when I moved to Melbourne, I was the exact same height as what I am now. And I was 25 kilos lighter than what I am now. So
crazy.
I was, you know, severely under eating, overtraining. Like I said, thought that I was making really good progress in terms of the gym because I was just obsessed. I was going flat out and, you know, thought I was eating in the right way. But it wasn't until I started really doing it properly. And that's when I started seeing results. And, you know, with that came, you know, questions and comments and stuff from people that knew me because they saw how much my body was changing. And that was kind of like a bit of a segue into starting my online coaching business. Which was about 6 to 12 months into me starting personal training full time. So, you know, basketball was cut short. I had an ankle reconstruction and moved into personal training. And in that process, you know, that was a bit of a game changer for me. It was a big blessing in disguise. You know, up until that point, basketball had been all I was obsessed with, and that's all I thought I was going to do, you know. But once I started personal training, I really fell in love with helping other people and saw how good it felt to teach others what I'd learned in the fitness industry. And I just got a lot of satisfaction and joy from doing that. So, you know, personal training, I got stuck into that, and, you know, that was my passion then. I was still, and to this day, still trying to learn as much as I could about anything to do with training and nutrition. As I said, I was seeing some pretty good results myself, and that quickly led to people asking questions and me, you know, helping some friends out with some training programs and nutrition plans. And, you know, back then, online coaching wasn't necessarily a thing. It wasn't really anything. So, you know, when I look at the progression from my first, I guess, sale as an online coach to how the system and setups are now, it's just crazy the progression that's happened over those years. And, you know, I went from just sending a few PDFs and a few emails with some nutrition plans to a few mates to, you know, now having a bunch of different systems, a bunch of different programs. Over the course of that time, I was very fortunate, as you mentioned, to start the podcast, which was, even then, it was kind of like a, not unheard of, but very untapped, I guess, in terms of particularly in the health and fitness industry in Australia. So I wanted to be consistent with that and put out some really good content. And then was fortunate enough to meet some incredible people, like in the early days of my coaching career, I guess you could say. So, you know, I was lucky to work with some really high level athletes, get in a few different circles with people that had a bit of a profile on social media and in business and things like that, which led to some great opportunities. And, you know, one of those being working with the girls at Keep It Cleaner, which has been an awesome journey. But, you know, up until this point now, you know, where I'm doing online coaching to a relatively high degree, I'm doing my podcasting, still working with people in person, and have just really made the most of all the opportunities that have come my way. But in saying that, there's been nothing that's just been given to me, and I realized that early on. So, you know, I knew that to see success, and regardless of how big or small it was, and, you know, because even right now, like, I'm nowhere near where I would like to be yet, but the reason why I am where I am now is because I've been so consistent. So, you know, it's like I said to you before, it's like the answer that people don't want to hear. I often get people asking me how I've grown my social media or how I've grown my client base and stuff. And the answer literally is like posting valuable content every single day since like 2013. you know, giving out just an absurd amount of value for free with absolutely no expectation of anything in return. It's reaching out to people to offer my advice or my help or my services, you know, early days for free. It's like, you know, not really, you know, something that I talk about a lot is a reason why I feel like I've had certain opportunities in the health and fitness industry is because I just haven't had that fear of rejection or failure at all. Because early days when I was playing basketball, you know, I was very lucky to play at like a high level of basketball and do some awesome stuff. But at that level, I failed so many times. Like, I missed so many teams. I got cut from so many things. I was on the end of so many losses. And I guess failures, I guess you could call them, or at least kind of speed bumps. And that almost taught me to be able to deal with that in a way where I just don't get affected by it now. So, you know, I can go out and really try something with absolutely no fear of failure, because I know that, you know, failing is part of the process. And that's just been really important for me. It's like the more times I fail, the more likely it is that I'm going to eventually succeed in whatever I'm doing. So it's just, it's been a really slow grind. Like I said, just consistency. Offering just as much value as I can, and not kind of going for the quick sell or not going for the easy dollar or anything like that. It's just more so being the long game. It's how can I offer as much value as possible to my audience so that when they do need help, it's just a no-brainer for them to reach out to me. And, you know, like, it's taken a long time, and I've still got a long way to go, but I don't do any direct marketing now to get new clients. I don't do any direct marketing to try and get new personal training clients. I get people now coming to me, asking me how they can work with me. And that's incredible. But, you know, like I said, that's happened because I've been consistent day in, day out since 2013. And again, I'm still not where I'd like to be yet, but I know that it's just going to require that, you know, that rinse and repeat of the same thing over and over again, and the consistency and just doing what I can to make the most of the opportunities that I get. And always having in mind that, you know, I'm offering other people value. I want to try and help other people. That's my ultimate goal. Obviously, I'm in this as well to make a living and to grow my business and all the rest of it. But the main goal, the purpose is to help people, and things like the podcast, things like, you know, conversations with people like yourself and working with different brands or doing certain collaborations is just another avenue for me to be able to do that and help more people. So yeah, that's I guess in a long answer. That's how I've ended up kind of where I am now.
Yeah. So on that, as far as building an audience or building a community, I think that's really interesting how, you know, I want to know, and I'm sure other people want to know, is how you've gone from essentially no one, just yourself, to a community of thousands and thousands of people and a podcast with 2.5 million downloads. I think that's incredible how you've built that. Would you just put that down to consistency and valuable content?
Like, honestly, yes. There's nothing about me or nothing that I do that's better than anyone else or different than anyone else. It's just the fact that I've been willing to you know, as the great man Gary V says, I've been willing to eat shit for a long time to eventually come out the other side with some value. So things like my email list, you know, offering just as much free value as I can through there and actually being really relatable and personable. So not trying to, I don't want to come across as someone who's, you know, better than anyone else, or if I've achieved certain things that others haven't, like, that's just, it is what it is. Like, I want to be able to show people that the way I've done these things is the same way that they can do it as well. I want to show people, I try and be as real and relatable as I can. So, you know, it's even things like on social media, it's like, I'm not on social media saying that I eat perfectly every day, that I'm always motivated, that I never have a drink of alcohol and blah, 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 you know, the rest of it. It's like just showing people that I am real, that making it relatable and giving people valuable advice that they can actually use. I think one thing that in the health and fitness industry in particular is that people are kind of in it purely to profit. So they think that their information should be paid for. They think that every single thing they do, they should make money from, because, you know, they may have put in time and effort to do so. But for me, I'm like, I would have loved to have, you know, people giving me as much advice as they could when I was starting out, so I didn't make all the mistakes that I did. So, you know, with the podcast and stuff like that, it's just listening to my audience, I think, is a really important one. So understanding what people want to actually know and hear and then delivering that. So, you know, something that I do often is, you know, I might put up a thing on my Instagram story asking like people to send through questions. And then out of that, those answers, I might create 5 to 10 podcasts off the back of powerful. Some of those questions. Or I could just, you know, reply to the stories on Instagram, or I could write an email that goes out, or write a blog post. And yeah, I don't know. I think the main thing that's helped build that community is just being super relatable and keeping things as honest and being really vulnerable as well, and just not being afraid to admit when things aren't going as well, or be more than okay to show people when I fail as well, which is just such an important thing. And then as well, you know, another way that I've built a community, which is more, I guess, a direct way to build communities is things like private Facebook groups and stuff like that. So throughout all of my online programs, I've always had off the back of every program a private community that they can join. So not only the people in the program can you know, bounce off each other, but I'll always be in there making sure I'm staying in touch with everyone and things like that. And then I think the last thing as well is that, again, early days, I realized that I found a way that I was able to help people that was completely customized and personal to them, which in the health and fitness industry is not as common these days. It's a lot of cookie cutter, again, just very generic stuff. So for me, I wanted to make sure that if I'm working with you, Robbie, that your nutrition plan is suited to you, like personally, like to the T. Same with your training program, same with all our communication. So I'm responding to every email, I'm writing your, you know, nutrition plan or training program to suit you, listening to what you need and giving you that. So from a business side of things, you know, yes, that may not be as scalable, but I know that that my audience and my clientele like value that so much more because, you know, something as simple as, you know, I've implemented this over the last 12 months is with all my online clients who send their weekly check-ins, like I'll send back either a voice message or a video in response to their email instead of just writing like a quick generic email to say, well done this week and here's what we're going to do next week. And the feedback from that's been incredible. Like people just feel so much more valued or feel like it's so much more personal when they know that I actually care. So I think, you know, showing that you care, showing that you listen to your audience and giving them what they actually want, not what you think that they want is such a big thing.
100%. And I've said it before on this pod, and I'll say it again. The next decade of business is going to be about community. People want to align themselves with people and with brands that that you know that they feel like they belong to. Like they want to find their tribe. And there's going to be less one-way communication. It's going to be less of people and brands yelling at their audience in, you know, capital letters that can't be responded to. Which is, to be honest, that's what the last, you know, decade, particularly in online business, has been about. It's like, it's very raw still, the communication we have, despite social media and so forth. You know, when you think about emails, I mean, how, like, it's basically just getting a letter. I mean, that's what it is. It's one-way communication in terms of like an email list. So these things are going to evolve in the next 10 years. It's like what we're doing now in terms of communication and even marketing strategy is going to evolve so much. So it's going to be about building those communities. It's going to be about two-way communication and helping people and branding yourself or your business or your brand so that people want to be associated with you for more than just a product or a service.
Do you think from an e-commerce side of things with an actual product, that's the same? So I think from a service-based business, I think that's, you know, 100% the way to go. Do you reckon it's exactly the same thing in terms of a product?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, and I've been there in the, you know, 2010 to 2020 essentially in the e-commerce world where if you have a cool product and you have a cool brand, and you have half an idea of marketing, it's almost enough, you know. Whereas now consumer expectations are changing. They're not just buying a product. They're buying into your values. They're buying into your brand. They're buying into your whole ecosystem. And it's changing now to more of a content-based system where, okay, yeah, you're selling a product, but yeah, what content are you putting out there that's going to resonate with me? And I think that's how it's changing. And I think particularly with, you know, I'll use Athletic as an example, we're slowly becoming a lot better at that. And we've got things now in the works that are going to really engage more of our community. Because the thing about sneakers is you really have... it's really like a collector's mindset. People, you know, they buy one color and they're like, you know, shit, I need the green, I need the purple. Because, you know, sneakerheads, it's a universal thing. So now what we're getting better at is being like, hey, there's a community of you guys. We're going to bring you together. And, you know, as you said with your, say, an example with your private Facebook groups, something we do now is we go, all right, well, we can identify that, you know, you've bought a few different color sneakers. We're going to invite you to this group where you can engage with other people who have bought, you know, several sneakers. And it's crazy. Like we didn't think it would go as well as it has, but people are like, oh my God, I missed out on, you know, this shoe. Has anyone got one in a size 39? Yeah. You know what I mean? So
It's like it's a matter of like feeling like you belong to something, right? Like even
so true.
In the health and fitness industry, you know, and you know, I may cop a bit for this, but F45, for example, like I you know, can personally say that I'm not a massive fan, but in terms of a business model, they've been incredible because what they've done is they've brought together people who all are there for the same reason. They feel like they're part of a community. They want to get a photo in front of the F45 sign. They want to say that they train at F45. They feel like they're part of like a family or a community. And most of them couldn't really give a shit about the training sessions. Like, it's just, that's like the byproduct of the community. And even with Athletican, like a bunch of my clients, every single time there's a new release, like they'll come in wearing like the new color. And it's just like, yeah, it's like on a small scale and, you know, hopefully one day on the same scale, but like Apple, like people don't even look at the specs of the new iPhone. They just go, oh, no, shit, there's right. a new one. So I'm going to get it, like, because I want to say that I've got the iPhone. Or it's just that it's like that community that people want to be a part of now.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good example. Now, I suppose you have a little bit of diversification in terms of what you're doing. You have a few different avenues. In terms of like an income diversification as a fitness business, do you think it's a strength of yours, or is it more, or is it a bigger challenge to have so many things in the works? Like, is it a challenge to draw your attention to different things, or do you think you've got your routine down pat where you can cover everything? Because I know that that's always been a challenge for me, where probably not to your extent, but I've always had a few things going on. And I find there's always that balance or that challenge between, you know, what can I put my concentration on? What can I put my energy into that's going to return the most impact?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's something that I definitely do struggle a bit with. And it's only been the last maybe 12 months that I've really actually identified that I was struggling with it as much. So as you said, like I try and dabble with as much as I can to an extent, like as long as it aligns with what my message is and what my brand's about. But, you know, doing, you know, like the podcast, and we were talking about this before we hit record, like I do all the editing of my podcast by myself. Like I've always been someone who, you know, probably to my detriment, like tries to do a lot of the stuff in my business myself. So the podcast, the online coaching, which, you know, even within that bracket, there's like three or four different legs inside the online coaching. Then the personal training, you know, then there's things like the Keep It Cleaner stuff. There's just normal life stuff, like my girlfriend, catching up with mates, like the rest of it. So I think that it's something I'm slowly getting better at, and I've almost tried to pull it back in to the point where I'm narrowing down how much I am doing, or at least streamlining what I'm doing so that it's all kind of moves in the same direction and it's a lot more systematized. So, you know, I've found that when I am able to really manage my time to the point where I can put all my time and energy into one thing at a time, which I find super hard to do, my productivity goes to the roof. So it's a matter of, you know, now in the morning when I do my journaling and stuff for the day, it's like, all right, between these 2 hours, I'm doing this and I'm going to try and do this only. Even if I get notifications of emails or social media, I'm going to leave that shit until I've finished, then move on to this and then move on to this. But, you know, I definitely am the type of person, and I feel as though you're the same, who almost needs that craziness of having a bunch of shit going on. I just feed off that type of stuff and I like it. But at the same time, I definitely think there's a point where it becomes a bit too much. And, you know, although it might be all well and good to be making different, you know, getting income from different streams and stuff, you got to also think about the quality of the service you're offering. So if I'm making money from X, Y, and Z, but I'm only able to give 50% of my effort to all three of those, then I'm really not providing the service that I should be providing to the people that are paying for it. And, you know, in the long term, that affects your brand negatively. So I'm really trying now to make sure that whatever I am doing, that I can fully commit to it. So, you know, the theory of learning to say no more often is something that I've gotten a bit better at over the last year or two. So whether it's working with a brand, whether it's going to an event, whether it's, you know, an idea that comes up that, you know, you could start this program and there'd be a bunch of people interested in it, but then saying no because, you know, you just don't have the time to fully commit to it. It can be hard to say no at the time if it means that, you know, you're potentially missing out on income or whatever it may be. But in the long run, I think it's far more beneficial, especially if it means that the quality of your service is much better in what you're actually putting your attention towards.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that's a bit of a, like it's a bit of a high performance mindset, right? Where, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, you just want to be the best that you can be. And you know, sometimes you try and take on too much, but other times you get that balance just right. And I think, you know, you're very good at implementing some of those strategies that help you, you know, be the best that you can be by, you know, grounding yourself, things like journaling and things like, you know, gratitude, every single day. I know me personally, it really helps a lot. And I do it in the morning actually, just because I feel like it sets me up for the day and kind of balance me out. Are you a morning or a night person?
Well, I've actually started implementing both, but for a long time I was doing just morning. And if I was to choose one of the two, for me, it'd be the morning time. Very similar to you. Like, I find if I can start my day the exact same way, regardless of what I've got on or regardless of what time I wake up, like I have set a few things that I do. You know, for me at the moment, it's cold shower, meditation, and then journaling. And the journaling includes the gratitude, you know, setting intentions for the day, and also just mapping out the key, select few things that need to be done. So then when I leave the house, like I'm on, like even if I've done nothing, I feel like I'm already productive, and then that carries over to everything. Like, whereas if I just wake up, walk straight out, chuck my clothes on, walk straight out the door, like my head's all over the place. And then I think that's when you start to feel that overwhelm, because that was something that I struggled with for a bit, is, as you said, because I do tend to do a fair bit. There's always just so much shit going on in my head that I'm like, it can be really, really overwhelming. Whereas something as simple as breaking things down and figuring out what are the main things that need to be done, when are they going to get done, and how am I going to do it? All of a sudden, that big overwhelming thing doesn't really seem as scary anymore. And then that just leads to more productivity and just ticking things off day after day. And then, as I said, I try and do a nighttime, almost like a bit of a debrief now as well. Like, and that I've actually found that really beneficial. So going back over what I'd set out to do, did I do it that day? Did I not? What are some things that went well? What are some things that I'm aware of that didn't go as well, or maybe ways that I acted that probably weren't aligned with how I wanted to act? And then you kind of go to sleep understanding that the next morning when you wake up, and generally they're on your mind, knowing that these are the things that can change or need to be done for the following day. But yeah, that's been a game changer for me.
Yeah, I love that. Going sideways a little bit, something that has interested me a lot lately has been independent digital courses. So I'm talking about experts in their field creating courses for their community. And it's interesting to me from two perspectives. One, from a business perspective, you know, someone like yourself who could go out and create a course for, look, I don't know what it would be, something that your audience would be interested in. And then the other side of that is, for me as a learner, someone who wants to continue learning constantly, which we all should, is the value out there from people who are experts in the field, people who have been there and done that, where you can buy essentially their course, which, you know, I have done in the past. And usually depends who you're buying from and depends who they are and, you know, what they've done. But, you know, generally you can expect to pay about $1,000 for these sort of courses. I've had immense value from the ones that I have done. And if you listen to some of the hustlers and the grinders out there, they're actually putting away a percentage of their income to spend on education, on courses like this. And I don't think it's a discussion for right now about, you know, the value between a university degree and independent courses. But there's certainly, yeah, as I said, it's interesting for me from both a business perspective and an educational perspective. From both those sides, is that something you've entertained?
100%. Like you said, we could talk about it for a long time. Maybe it's for another day, but with the university side of things, and, you know, I actually didn't end up going to uni, but I often look at things like marketing, right? Like, there's no way you can tell me that you're going to come out of a marketing degree at uni better off than, say, learning. If your main goal is to leave uni and work at an e-commerce brand, you are going to get so much more out of either doing an internship, a course, or something like that by someone who has been there, done that within the last 12 to 24 months, compared to coming into a uni degree of just almost outdated stuff, which is just not up with where the current like marketing hype is at, I guess. Like, you look at even with social media now, it changes every fucking 6 months. Like, you have to, in saying that, though, the only thing I would say in contrary to that is making sure that the people that you are buying the courses from have actually done it themselves, because now that that is becoming a thing. You are starting to see more and more courses of how to, you know, one of the big popular ones in health and fitness industry for coaches is how to make six figures as a personal trainer. And then you like look at it and the person teaching is not even a personal trainer, or like they haven't, like they don't have a big personal training business themselves. So they're pretty good at making courses, but are they even giving you the information that, that they should be giving? So it's like,
avoid that like the plague, I would say.
Exactly right. And it doesn't need to be something as broad as that too. And you probably also got to understand why and like why you're signing up to it and what the purpose is. If it is just some shiny object, like make $100,000 doing blah, 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 why is that even your goal? And is that even your goal, or is that just something that you think should be because everyone else seems to do it? So it's like, I would say even with the courses, like going even more micro. So it's like for someone like yourself, for to be, you know, if you're putting together a course on how to run effective e-commerce, Facebook marketing ads or something like that, like I can guarantee that someone's going to take away, you know, months and months of trial and error just by doing a short course from someone who's done it and can give you the tools and help you implement things that are going to be effective almost straight away.
That's the thing. You said it exactly right, where you're just eliminating the trial and error. You're eliminating wasted time and you know, in that example, you wasted money as well in doing things where if you were to pay for an educational resource, you can avoid all that. So I find the whole concept really interesting. I think, you know, I don't know how, but it almost needs some kind of regulation where, you know, you can't just be a shit talker and you know, make up your achievements and then sell a course, because there's obviously people out there doing that. However, there is significant value in courses from people that you trust, because I'm certain if for example, if you were to bring out some sort of course, whatever it would be, I don't know, but your audience would eat it up. And by that, I mean, they would get a lot of value out of it.
And the other thing to that as well is, if you are the person doing the courses, something again that I kind of struggle with a little bit, but I think a lot of people do, is paralysis by analysis or whatever. So it's like, or just over consuming content. So there is just so much content available now that people spend their whole day watching Gary Vee, watching Grant Cardone, watching Robbie, whoever they're watching, but they don't actually do anything with it. It's like when you go to a seminar and everyone leaves like fucking G'd up and ready to go and make $1 million, but then within a day they're just back to doing the same shit again. It's like, if you are going to do a course or read a book, like spend a month implementing that one thing and really immerse in whatever you've learned. But then you actually get some benefit from it, because just because you've done the course means absolutely nothing. It's like reading books. Like, I actually started reading less books than what I used to, purely because I was finishing one and starting the next and realizing that I was just not doing anything, like not implementing anything out of the previous one. So that's the problem.
On that, I actually started, I like to read more than I do, but once I've finished a book, I actually spend half an hour, an hour actually just writing down things that I've taken away from the book in my journal, which I go back every now and then and just look on and go, oh yeah, that was an interesting point. And then it just kind of mulls over in your mind again. So that's a little bit of a hot tip for people reading educational based books. But what's your ultimate goal? Like, what does Danny Kennedy, the fitness empire, look like in, say, 10 years?
Eventually, I would love to have my own facility, not so much from income perspective, but more so, again, like that community feel, like to be able to have all my clients come and train in my facility, to have it as a bit of a multi-purpose place where I can create the podcasts and create content, maybe have like a shop. You know, my partner and I, we started an activewear brand for females. So maybe having like a little shop element, cafe, whatever it may be. So that'd be incredible at some point in time. Outside of that, it's just like to keep the goal. So it's just to help more people and however that happens to look, then it is what it is. For me, I would like to get the online side of things to the point where I can be extremely selective with how many hours I do in person and who I work with, which is already kind of trending in that direction. But just to have that freedom and flexibility to be able to just do what I enjoy doing. But obviously, ideally, I want to be able to have the audience to the point where it is just helping people on a much larger scale than what it is at the moment. And, you know, I'm loving podcasting. I love helping people online, but, you know, I also do really enjoy helping people in person. So if I can find that balance in a way where it's extremely effective, but also not to the point where it's just going to burn me out. Cause I think in the fitness industry, it tends to be a short lifespan. People kind of come in, go nuts, work ridiculous hours, and then it gets to the point where you either get sick of it or it's just not sustainable. So if I can set up my business in a way where I've got enough income streams and stuff to be able to just do what I enjoy with the amount of time that I want to be doing it, then that'd be ideal.
And let me know when that facility is in the works. I'd like to invest in that. That sounds bloody awesome.
Unreal. Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah. So who people starting fitness businesses, you know, they're at the very start of the journey. What advice are you giving to them to allow them to grow their business? You know, I think you're potentially an exception where you've done unbelievably well, but what's your advice to them to be able to grow a sustainable business? We say, you know, look, there is kind of a short lifespan in fitness, the fitness industry. What's your advice to someone where they can sustain that over a long period and grow their audience, grow their business and make a sustainable living out of it?
Firstly, I would say is like try and find your niche. Like, and that may take a little bit of time. You might need to do a bit of dabbling here and there within the industry to find exactly what you enjoy most. But the sooner you find that, the better. Because when I started out, I tried to just cater towards all areas of health and fitness. And you'd think as a personal trainer, you're a personal trainer, you can just help anyone and everyone. But if you really want to grow a good business, you need to find exactly the specific clientele you want to work with and then double down on it. So finding your niche is important. Figuring out right from the start to get to that point, because you can quickly get caught in the trap of, you know, like I said, doing anything and everything and just burning yourself out. Offer the best value you can possibly offer for free consistently. It can't be once a week, can't be once a month. It doesn't have to be every single day, or it doesn't have to be 1,000 times a day, but start offering value, whether it's through social media, an email list, a podcast. You know, audio is going nuts and it's going to continue to go nuts. Offer value for free and try and grow your audience that way, I think is something that's incredibly important. What else? I think the most underrated one is just consistency. Like, you have to be consistent. It's like I said, it can't be an Instagram post here and there. It can't be, you know, just dabbling here and there. You figure out exactly the avenue you want to go down and be persistent with it. The other thing I would say in the industry is I can honestly say if I was just a personal trainer, like I would not be still doing this. Like if I just did personal training. So I think especially this day and age, it's important to have some form of online aspect to your business. Obviously we've seen with COVID, most people have now had to adapt to that in some way or another. But if you can do that from day one, I think it's going to be a massive help, because in the end of the day, it's personal training is a luxury for most people. And if they're cutting back on costs, or if they're sick, or if they're away, it's the first thing that they're going to cut out. So you can go from having 30 to 40 hours a week to be doing 10 hours a week. And bad luck, if you're on your own business, like it is what it is. So I would not be doing personal training, 100% would not be doing personal training if all I did was the face-to-face stuff. So for me, being able to build a brand through content, being able to build a brand through online presence and the personal training side of things has been a game changer. And then the last one is just like, make sure you enjoy it. Like, it's the same as anything else. That's what I say to clients with their training and food as well. It's like, it could be the best or most optimal thing on paper, but if you don't enjoy it and you can't stick to it, then it's just a waste of time. It's not optimal at all. So make sure you enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy the people you work with, because as a personal trainer, it's very consuming when you're spending, even if it's just an hour. If you're spending an hour with someone, you can't sit at your desk and fucking put a podcast on and chill out. It's like you're engaging the whole time. So working with people you enjoy being around is a big one as well. So yeah, hopefully there's a few things there.
Massive. Yeah, I think you've dropped a lot of value just in that 2 minutes. But Danny, thank you so much for joining me on the Off Court Pod. Really appreciate some of the value you've been dropping, and just your presence in general with everything that you have achieved in the fitness industry has been amazing to watch, to be honest. So thanks very much.
Mate, thanks for having me on. I've learned plenty from you, and I'm sure I'll continue to do so. But appreciate it. It was a really good chat.